Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. It's your host, Barry Johnston, joining with me, my buddy, Mr. Adam Beebe. What's going on, man?
Hey, Barry. How you doing, man? Did you get those some words for you to get out there?
I know.
I got
tangled up.
It's okay. I always got tangled up in my own words trying to call you out on it. So
how's it going? Yeah, man. Just thinking about the next two-parter episode that we've got coming up. What we did was sort of similar to the last one. We've got a couple of different guests on this one. We kind of felt like they fit together. And both of these guys are awesome. Just such killer stories, man, you know?
This is one of those themes that you've heard people talk about in previous episodes, but now we've got two lengthy stories that are in the thematic area, and we've been sitting on one for a while, our first one. We've been sitting on it for a while because we wanted to pair it with another complimentary story that makes it, just balances it out really well.
Yeah, we wanted it to have a nice counterbalance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we got it. I think we got some really good stuff, and I'm excited because we have been sitting on it for a while, and we can finally get it out there, and you guys are going to really enjoy it. And the subject matter is, should we tell them, Barry, should we just let them explore it on their own?
Well, I mean,
fair warning.
Yeah, I mean, it's another dark entity type situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got to say, and by the way, the gentleman's name is Vinny. And he's a friend of yours, and
yeah,
just a great guy. You can tell that he looks like such a nice guy, right? But there's something with Vinny.
Oh, yeah.
You know that there's another layer to Vinny. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's got, well, you know, I've known Vinny for a long time. I've known him since he was about like 15 or 16. Vinny, now he's got that quiet intensity look. You know, that vibe about him. But Vinny used to be a legit dyed-in-the-wool punk rocker back in the day. And he wasn't a poser. He wasn't like, you know, just one who got all his gear at the mall. He was legit and he was into it. And sorry, my cat just jumped up on the desk here and scared the crap out of me and almost hit a candle. I was like, ah, but I didn't yell.
Dark entity.
The dark entity. So yeah, legitness and... So, yeah. But anyway, Vinny's a great guy, and I've known him forever. And, you know, we finally get this. It took us a while to set up the interview, and we got the interview. Been sitting on it for a while.
Yeah.
Wanted to find the right thing. And so what we've got to match up with it is Chris, who also contacted us fairly early on, and he's a listener. And I had met him in the past. I forgot that I had met him. I knew his name was familiar. I'd seen him, but I couldn't place where it was. And just after I graduated from grad school, that year afterwards, when I was struggling, trying to find jobs and just doing a lot of studio artwork and focusing on my art, I would, from time to time, take a job at the university being a fine arts model. And but I was a portrait model. I was not.
This was an you weren't nude. You weren't unclothed.
I was not a nude figure model because, you know, my modesty prohibits. And
of course,
you know,
of course. Your mother just raised a bashful man.
Well, you know, I you know, it's I don't I you know I yeah. I think that about says that. I've always been very, you know, very very modest, but just also very, you know, body conscious. But anyway, I'll set up, if you want to draw my face and draw me in clothes, then that's cool. So that's what I did. I'd forgotten that he was in one of the classes until he sent me the photograph of one of his drawings that he did
after we did
the interview. So yeah,
nice.
So I'll put that up on the on the social media as well. But he's also got something cool, another photograph that I'll throw up there on Instagram and Facebook and whatnot. So without further ado, we have both Vinny and Chris, and they both have shadow people stories. Now, Chris has got a couple other stories, too, that are really cool, old family stories. But we got these shadow people stories, and they're creepy, and they're really good. And you can tell, especially Vinny is shook up by his experiences still.
Definitely.
They've marked him. But Chris has a little bit different, and so I don't think he's as, you know, I think, as you'll see in here, rather, in his story, that has got a little bit of bonus that kind of evens things out. So both have great stories. And without further ado, it just seems like we're keep not putting Vinny's because we keep talking, stretching out the time.
Let's get to it. Let's get to it now. Fuck it. Here we go. Ready? Hey, Vinny, what's your weird story?
Okay, so the first one starts way back in 2007. I was stationed up in Fort Drum, and it was probably it was winter, but it's always winter up there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like January, February time frame. And it was like one of the nights I decided not to go out because I went out almost every night. So but this one night for me to stay in was kind of special.
So, so this was, and you were in the, you're in the military. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the Army.
You're in the Army. Okay. And this was, it was this boot camp, or was this one of your first places you were stationed, or?
Yeah, this is my my first duty station.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was staying in the barracks. And it was just like a normal night, just a pretty chill night. Like I had a six pack and listened to some music, and that was it. And then I was like, well, time to turn in. Like I didn't get wasted, you know, because at that time, six beers was nothing.
Yeah. Of course. You were a young man in his prime.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Plus, you grew up in Greenville punk rock scene there at Backdoor and everything, and the parties and all the stuff. So that was, being from Greenville, it's like you got an extra powerful liver.
Yeah. So. That's absolutely true.
It's a blessing and a curse. But
yeah, so six pack was like nothing, you know. It was, you know, I don't know. They didn't even get me any tipsy, really, but. I decided to turn in, and there was nothing strange about the night. Like, it was just so normal and so inconsequential. I was asleep, and my barracks room, everybody else had a roommate. Like, I guess I gotta set this up a little bit. Typically, when you're in a barracks, like, you have a roommate that sleeps like an arm's length away from you. You know, it's really tight, really compact. But for some reason, I didn't have one. And that was cool.
You lucked out. Yeah.
I lucked out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had this space all to myself. So I was asleep, and that's why it was weird. Like it felt like something was tugging my shoulder, right? Like trying to wake me up.
Mm-hmm.
Like my door was unlocked because you had a common area in the middle, so other people's rooms, you know, they could come in like if they needed me or whatever. So that kind of shook me asleep, or shook me awake rather, and I was just like, you know, like just right when you wake up, you're like, well, you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah,
and like my brain was trying to process, like, there's nobody in my room. Who needs me? What's going on? And then, like, they it felt like this person took my entire arm and like started yanking me out of my bed. Like it was like a slow, pull at first.
Someone's hands on you? Like you felt like.
No, not so it wasn't.
Much. Okay.
No.
Okay.
That was so like the weird part.
Okay.
Like there's no physical touch, but you felt like pressure.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Huh. Right. And then like it took my arm and like started pulling me out of my bed. And it wasn't so much I could turn or whatever, but it was pulling me. And like all I saw, like the room was dark. There was no street light or anything coming through my window. So it was just like pitch black. Pitch
black. Wow.
And this is like up Fort Drum's like 30 minutes away from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's dead of winter. Everything's dark. But what I saw was like darker than dark. It was like a void. There's no shape. There's no shape to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was large and like ominous and like,
yeah,
I freaked out, you know? And I kind of remember pulling back, but it wasn't like pulling back. But it didn't even feel like after I saw it, it wasn't like I was just like being pulled out of my bed. It was like, it was trying to pull me to a whole nother thing. Whoa. And then, like, it was gone. Just, like, in that, it was gone. I was free. I ran, and I flipped on the lights. And, like, I was really religious, like, back then. Not, like, super. I wasn't good about being, a Christian.
Yeah. But, like, I know exactly what you mean, man.
But, like, I definitely believe in a higher power. Sure. Like, not so much. But, yeah, so I flicked on my lights and I'm just like freaked out, like hyperventilating. Like I light my Virgin Mary candle and like, you know, I don't know. I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like,
so you, so was instant, it was instant panic, right? Is that what you're saying? Like instant.
Yeah.
You felt that thing. Wow.
Cause I didn't know. I mean, at the time I associated that with like a complete, like, because I didn't know anything about like hypnagogic events,
right,
or even where nightmares came from, or you know, like the true origin of it. So I didn't know what the hell happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happened, and it freaked me out for like a few weeks. Like I was afraid it was going to happen again. I went to church that Sunday.
Yeah.
Like I didn't belong to a church. Yeah. I just went to church. I was like, I gotta.
Yeah. You got to fortify yourself.
Yeah, right.
Get some reassurance. No, I get you, dude. So when he says, when you're saying hypnagogic events, he's talking about like sleep paralysis and something that we've talked about. Dara talks about quite a bit in our recent episode. So you did your research and this is what you've come up. But when you said that it had kind of it pulled you, did your arm move? Did you see, I mean, I know you said it was pitch dark, but you saw that there was this beyond darkness, you know, this thing. Do you feel like, I mean, did you physically move with it? Did you? Because you said you felt like it was pulling you.
I was sleeping on, I remember I was sleeping on my right side,
mm-hmm.
and facing the way that my bunk was set up. If I slept on my right side, I'd be facing the wall. Like mm-hmm. it's just the wall is right there. So when it pulled me, it rolled my body over to where I could see the other side of the room.
Oh my
God. And that's where that was. Like, the other side of my room was a desk where I had my little, like, faux Catholic, like, shrine.
Yeah.
Like, my Madonna candle and a couple crucifixes and whatnot. But, and it was pulling me in, like, but it was, like, on that side. So, it definitely pulled my body. Like,
wow.
It,
Did you tell anybody else this, or did you keep it?
Fuck no.
I was going to say, you're around a bunch of men, you know, like serious dudes.
Gun-ho, gun-ho. Yeah. Well, I mean, not gun-ho, you're not the, you're Army, not the Marines, but yeah, still. So when you're not a sleeper, you don't move in your sleep. You're getting one of those people that's like, you're basically a corpse while you sleep. Is that it? So you don't like toss and turn, you don't move during the night very much.
Well, I didn't think I did, but like, cause that was a bunk bed, you know, uh-huh. I was too lazy to move the top one off.
Right.
Cause I was like, I'm not, cause I was set to deploy to Iraq. Mm-hmm. In like a few months, so I was like, I'm not trying to move shit around and make it my own. Yeah. Like it was just temporary. But no, like after that, I would sit up in bed and like whack the shit out of my head, you know, like because of the one of the support beams.
Yeah.
I would sit up in my sleep, which I had never done before, and I'd hit my head, and I'd be like, God damn it, you know, and I'd go back to bed. So I don't know if that was
this started happening after this, the first event where you were tugged.
Yeah.
You're grabbed. Being tugged in your sleep in the barracks is probably not a good way to put it.
We have small children present.
When you're grabbed, it's good thing you got the headphones on.
Yeah, he can't hear.
So when you were... I almost even followed up by saying molested, but when you were touched, there's no real good way for me to say this. Everything's going to come out sounding really bad now. when you were moved, whatever it was, Barry, can you finish this? Cause I'm really,
go ahead. I feel like you're on topic, sir. I don't want to have anything to do with that, but go ahead.
All right. So your body was manipulated.
Sounds worse.
I know. So anyway, I really can't do anything to get out of this hole. But okay, so you were moved, and by this thing, and you freaked out, and then you lit a candle, and you went to church, and so after that, you would find yourself sitting up. In the middle of the night, you'd wake up by hitting, because you sat up and hit yourself.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, which is so weird.
That is really kind of bizarre, dude.
That is bizarre. How many times? A handful?
Yeah, like three or four.
Wow.
That's, your body was like, something in your mind was on defense mode.
Probably, yeah. I never thought about it that way. I thought it was just, quite honestly, like I chalked it all up at that time. Because I didn't talk to anybody about it. Like I said, like, just, you're not even supposed to tell people, like, when you're sad and shit. Like, you know?
Of course.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm not going to be like, so, I also had this, like, weird demon thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
pulled me out of bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I chalked it up to, like, my excessive drinking. And what I mean, like, excessive, like, even excessive for like Greenville type. Like,
yeah.
I was doing like a bottle and a half of whiskey a night.
Wow. You know?
Yeah, not the Black Velvet, so not the good stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, now you just lost a sponsor.
Yeah.
That's We or gained one.
We should, yeah, we should, hey, we should only be so lucky as to have someone like Black Velvet.
Black Velvet whiskey. What do you really want to say? So you have this. That's weird, man. I mean, sure, you could attribute it to that, but at the same time, it seems like. When you said, like, I used to drink, and I would, you know, I wouldn't wake up, you know, that's part of the thing, that I, you know, I wouldn't wake up and just being startled or anything. Now, I startle myself awake because I scare myself my own snoring, but, you know, like, you got that look forward to. But... yeah, if you set up and do something like that, you're having night terrors, or you're something's like your brain is like firing, your body is aware of something.
Yeah,
there's something going beyond. There's something where that is a fight or flight response. And I wonder if that is connected. And I wonder also, Vinny, if your excessive drinking might have been connected to it somehow as well. You know,
I mean, maybe I was a terrible, terrible person then.
Well, yeah, you know, we've all had that youth, you know, we all indiscretions of youth and stuff like that. So,
yeah, this is way beyond indiscretions of youth. My indiscretions of youth, I knocked that out while I was in Greenville, still in high school.
Well, you could have, but still something could have fed that too, you know. I mean, that is... There's a dark, you know, we've had that conversation too. There's a darkness that sort of looms sometimes that can feed off of that kind of stuff, you know. Darrow being one of the people that talked about that. But
also with Greg, with his telling.
Correct. Yeah, and Greg too. That's right.
He saw that. It's very similar. It sounds like
very...
A very similar,
very, yeah.
Visually, what you saw,
yeah.
Kind of a thing, the darkness, formless shadow thing. So cool. All right. So this happened when you were in Fort Durham, you said?
Fort Drum.
Yeah. We were there. So, okay. So anything else happened immediately after that? Or did it have you have a cooling off period?
It was weird. Never happened again. Well, not going to say never happened again, but that was in 2007. The right. last time that had happened was, I think, a year and a half or 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Here in this room.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
And the girl... The babysitter girl, she picked up the phone, and there was a policeman on the other side, and he said, "We've tracked the phone call, and it's coming from inside the house."
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter, or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane, but there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV, and she turns them around, and their face has SpaghettiOs!
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy? Oh,
the hook. The hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they started off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere.
Like, you can see my bed.
Yes.
But, like, it's just on the other side. And that's where I had, it's like off camera. You can't see it. But that's where it happened last time. And again, like, just a normal night, like nothing would have led me to, you know what I mean? Like, and I had read about it, like, while I was, you know, since that time, and I just wrote it off like, oh, well, that's what it is. That's what science says it is. And
right.
That's that, you know, it's just like a weird brain glitch kind of thing. Yeah, but so this time when it happened, like, it was late at night. I was watching TV, you know, just, it's like a weekend or whatever. I didn't have to work the next day. And I was just watching TV. And here's the weird part. Like, I don't remember falling asleep. Like, I guess nobody really does. But, like, there is no point. I'm like, oh, I'm tired, and close my eyes and, like, shut everything off. And then, so what I remember is, like, there's like a Virgin Mary statue, and it started like rocking back and forth, like it's walking, you know, like when you play with toys and you just kind of rock them back and forth, like, because their legs don't move, like Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it did that, like, across my dresser, like across the TV.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I don't even have one of those. So, right.
Holy shit.
Okay, so let me describe real quick here the expression on both mine and Barry's face for the listeners at home. The complete, I think a good description would be the WTF.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, like just gobstopped or whatever that term is. Okay, so you had a bouncing Jesus Mama statue. You had Virgin Mary walking across your dresser in front of the TV.
Yeah.
And you don't have one of those.
I've never owned one of those.
Wow.
So, right. So, which I now attribute that, like, that's must have been part of, like, the dream or whatever. Like, I had fallen asleep.
Right.
And that was, like, a dream thing.
Yes.
Because, like, I remember it being, like, really close up, like, the way I was looking at
right.
it.
Yep. Okay.
Like, there's no way I could have had that perspective from where I was to where the TV was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I chalked that up to being the dream. And but then I woke up, like, boop, eyes are open. And my body can't. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm awake. Weird dream. I'm going to get up. Can't get up. Like, everything is paralyzed. Shut down.
Yeah.
Right. Weirdest, such a weird feeling.
But
such
you're awake. Terrible, you're awake now. Now you, yeah, now you're awake. Okay.
Fully conscious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Eyes are open. Can't move my head, but my eyes are like kind of darting around. And then off to my right, just like right outside my field of view, you know, just enough to make it really terrifying, was a shadow person. Yeah, there's no, it wasn't like before. It was like this weird amoeba, like void, formless thing. This is a straight up like anthropomorphic darkness.
Wow.
Did it have, I'm going to say it, Barry, did it have a discernible shape? I mean, did it have like, okay, so we heard about the Shadow Man, Shadow Different People. Some of them have hats and some of them don't. And some of them are like big and towering and some are small. Do you have enough clarity of and the thought to remember what it was that you saw over in the corner of your eye?
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. No hat.
Okay.
No hat. It would have been tall. Like, yeah, it had to have probably been like a little over 6 foot,
mm-hmm.
give or take. Not like super slim, but not like super like broad shoulders, right. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like average, just like a tall dude.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing other than that, like just the outline of that. And it just seemed like it was like slowly getting closer and closer and closer to me.
Oh.
Right. And so I noticed that in like every, I'm trying to move and I can't, but I can mm-hmm. feel like every muscle fiber in my body like tensing up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to scream, like mm-hmm. that is the weirdest feeling, trying to scream and yeah. you can't because it's like all this pressure is like building up.
Oh man.
Like you can feel it in your throat.
Oh my God.
And like it kept getting closer and closer and I was just like, then finally boom, snapped out of it, screamed. It wasn't there. Everything was like it just poofed, gone. Again, got up, ran, turned on the light.
Yeah.
There's no lighting a candle or praying to anything because, you know, but I was just like, I was pissed. I was like, again, I was like, why? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because it's, again, like, at that time, the second time I wrote it off. Freaking brain, you know, acting up.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't know. Like, because, you know, we don't know everything.
Yeah,
that's true.
We can't just write it off and mm-hmm. say that it's not that. Now, I don't attribute it to any kind of Abrahamic, you know, stance or whatever, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying, like, we just don't know.
Yeah, you can't explain
Can't explain it.
But it affected you, I can tell. I can tell it affected you.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
Like, I was afraid to go to bed.
Yeah.
For about a week or two, because I was afraid it was going to happen again. You know?
Yeah.
And
the thing...
It could happen. Like, it could happen tonight. No, I'm sorry.
Right.
But, like, it could happen tonight. Right. And there's no precursor. There's nothing letting me know that, hey, this funky shit's about to go down.
Right.
Right, right. And it's one of those things that is a fairly common and fairly universal thing. The seeing out of the corner of your eye, the shadow person, that's kind of that shape, that kind of thing. And obviously, you know, we know that our brains have a tendency to put put faces on things and to try to put a form that is like our own to things. But, that's for things that already exist that we're trying to, you know, put that form on. We're trying to say, you know, with our brains looking at these shadow people, things, these shadow forms. I mean, we don't know, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't know what they are. You know, I can't give you an answer. I can't even give you a thought of what I think it could be, except for this weird occurrence that happens, you know. I mean,
right? There's
time, I don't know if I want to know.
There's times when I think I've seen something out of the corner of my eye, but it goes away. You know, it's not led up by an actual thing that is giving me some sort of feedback. Like, it goes away. You know, so you know, the fact that it would sit there or come nearer. And I mean, that's heavy stuff, man. That is scary, scary stuff too. You can't, it's something you can't explain, or how it moves and what dimension it lives in is bizarre.
Yeah. And you don't really want to tell too many people because you sound like a loon.
Right.
You know?
Right. Of course. And that's the thing. It's like that feeling of how do I tell somebody that this happened? There's no real format for that. There's no real good way to tell somebody that, unless you're, you know, out and about and the moment presents itself. But how often does that happen? Not very.
Yeah. No, not many. I don't.
Yeah, and it's another thing where it's like we don't have a cultural kind of society, a thing where we are accepting of, in general, of this high strangeness of these things that we don't know about. You know, you can go to a church and say, well, I saw an angel or I saw a demon, but then you say I saw a ghost or a shadow person or something like that, and then you want to frame it on, well, that was an angel or a demon, or maybe the ghost was, you know. But then again, there's the whole concept of, well, it can't be a ghost because people go to heaven or hell after they die, you know. So I don't understand. That's one thing I never really understood. But, you know, we don't have the general acceptability of, you know, where people see this stuff and it's all on the outside, it's all, you know, on the edge and the fringes, and that's where we talk to stuff, and that's why we have podcasts like this, to where we can talk about this stuff and say, hey, this weird stuff happened to me, and, you know, I haven't had something like that, or maybe I have, I don't know, but, you know, it's cool that you did. We want to hear about it. And, you know, we know you're, I know mostly that you're not a loon, but, Barry, what do you think that people find the most far-fetched? Ghost stories or aliens as being the more unbelievable?
I would say aliens.
You know, I would agree with that probably too, because I think with Ghost, there's a part of the belief system that is abound throughout the world, and we want to have some kind of assurance of some form of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with aliens, it's unknown for sure. It's completely unknown. We have only our imagination. We don't have a lot of universal stories that we agree upon that these things exist, maybe.
To believe in aliens is to believe that we are not the sole existence of this world, which goes against a lot of belief systems.
It definitely does. But you know, the great thing about what we're doing here is we are open to all your stories about ghosts or aliens or anything in between or anything outside of. We're not here to judge. We're here to just talk. And to share. And we don't want you to think you're crazy, because you're not.
Oh man, Vinny, that was a crazy, that's a crazy couple of stories there, man. I mean, the shadow figure thing is like,
I'm right there.
I get the willies, dude, you know?
It's like, we've heard lots of creepy stuff, you know. We've both seen UFOs, and we both like, okay, that's odd, that's weird, but it's not, you know, necessarily scary or creepy. And you know, maybe it's a little uncomfortable, but it's not that bad. We've heard ghost stories, and those are mostly, you know, okay, well, they saw something, it's weird, but you know, but anytime, you know, the shadow people stories are just the creepiest, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think he did a good job of painting a picture of just how discomforting that is, you know? You can tell that it really did affect him, you know?
And, yeah, for real.
I think it's interesting, too, that, you know, again, sort of where you're at in your life and, you know, some of that starts to get creeped in and it all starts to overlay with each other, you know what I mean? It starts to interweave. So, yeah, just great stuff, man. Great stuff.
Yep. Thanks again, Vinny, for bringing those to us and sharing that with us. That's awesome stuff. And just, you know, good to see an old buddy I haven't seen in a long, long time. So,
yeah. And a friend of yours is a friend of mine.
That's true. Cool. All right. Well, hey, Barry, let's move on to our new friend, Chris, and his stories. And as I said before, he's got a couple of short stories that are old family stories that are really cool.
Yeah.
And then he's got his shadow person story as well, which is also really cool.
Awesome.
So, Chris, thank you for being a listener and getting a hold of us and for, you know, helping us out that way, man. It's always awesome whenever somebody's coming from outside, you know, being a listener and bringing the stories, because that's what we want. So thank you, first of all, long-windedly for that. And then secondly, short-windedly. I don't know if that was the right word for it. But anyway, Chris, I'm not trying to make this weird. Apparently I am. Chris, what's your weird story?
Well, hey, I got to actually have a couple of weird stories.
Cool.
Excellent.
About three. A couple have been handed down from a couple of generations in my family. The third one was a personal experience.
Cool.
So I guess I'll start with the first two. So I guess my great-great-grandfather, I believe, was a bread delivery guy here in Cincinnati. His name was Curly. So Curly was going around on his rounds one day.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt real quick, but no, I've always was he named Curly because was it like was it an ironic nickname, like, you know, you call the big guys called Slim and the big or Tiny and then you know, or was it, you know, so did he have a lot of, no hair, or
no,
did
he have like a lot of curly, he had extremely curly hair.
Okay, so it was like our friend Fro,
yeah,
who we right. You know, who had the unironic, although now it's become ironic because for the past 20 years he's had dreadlocks, so I guess he's not even a Fro anymore. So
you should still call him Fro.
Yeah.
So anyways, Curly was going on his rounds one day, and there was this regular lady that he came to, and on this particular day, she answered the door, and she was like really, really pale in the face. So he was like, "Are you okay?" And she was like, "Well, I just saw my late husband. He was standing on the steps. His ghost was." And Curly was like, "Well, you know, sometimes when ghosts or spirits, they hang around because they have unfinished business or whatever. So you should ask him what he wants, like if he's trying to tell you something or something like that. So a couple weeks later, he comes back to this lady's house, and she invites him in for tea and wants to thank him a lot because apparently this guy didn't trust banks at all, and he had left his inheritance or all of his life savings underneath of the stairs. So he was like hanging around the stairs protecting his little nest egg, and he wanted to tell her.
That's awesome.
Did she know about that? I mean, when he was alive, did she know?
No,
that?
No, no. She had no idea that he was stashing money.
Are you serious, man?
Yeah.
So then she finds the money, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, she found the money, and she I don't know if he like Curly ever got like a little like thank you note or but yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man. That's a trip.
That is, man.
Yeah, that was so the other story that was passed down. I don't know who was a hearse driver or worked in the morgue. I don't know if he did both, but he definitely drove a hearse from the story. And one time he was taking a body back to the morgue on a gurney. I guess it was fresh, and the body had moved its legs over to the side of the table and like set up. Like it was in bed.
Wait, what? So wait. Okay, so this recently deceased, the body just righted itself. It sat up and like.
Yeah, almost like if you were like waking up in bed. Like you, like something startled you, and you're wow. just kind of like you throw your legs off to the side, and you kind of sit up and like hold yourself on your knees there.
So, to me, what's strange about this is I've heard about quite often from funeral directors and morticians, stuff like that, that there is a time to where the body can have like that sitting up kind of a deal. Where, you know, where it will sit up. But I've never heard it where it turned with the body, the feet. You know, usually it's just like the body from the waist would kind of go up. But with it turning and putting its feet over the side so that it could, like, sit up more properly, I've never heard of anything like that.
Yeah, that would I guess take a lot of dexterity for somebody that's dead.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. No kidding, man. I had a friend once, and she was younger. She was like my age at the time. I think I was 24, 25, and she was a mortician. And she would tell, because I would always probe her about what it's like to pick up bodies, you know. And she was just like it's no big deal. But she would talk about how, you know, the muscles would contract and, you know, you'd be driving down the road and, you know, see an arm or something, you know, I'm like, that just would freak me out, man. There's no way that I could do that.
I wouldn't either.
No
I have
way.
Too weak of a stomach to
me too.
Deal with like cutting the flesh and yeah, stuff like that.
No kidding.
I'm alive or dead.
Yeah, it takes, you know, anybody who's going to get elbows deep in guts of any kind is a special kind of person in my book.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, whether they're living or after. Mm-hmm. You know, that's mm-hmm. that was so, and we're fortunate to have those people both sides.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding.
That's crazy. That's wild, dude. It's wild. All right. So yeah. So
okay.
The your personal, yeah.
This is the now. I didn't actually have a name to put to what I witnessed or saw until I was actually listening to your guys' podcast.
Oh.
Okay. So. I believe what I saw was a shadow person. Okay. So there was one evening, this was when I was like 20 or 19. It was in my second apartment. I was like sitting in my living room and I had like come home from work. I was like relaxing for the evening. And I had put in a movie. Like I didn't have cable at the time. So I was watching a VHS. And I fell asleep at the beginning of the movie. Sitting on my couch, and I fell asleep. So I did the thing where you like wake up and there's a blue screen, right? And it's like I woke up and I noticed something out of the peripheral of my vision. Now, I had the lights on. There was actually a light to my right where I saw the figure. Actually behind him was a light. Above and behind him was a light. So, you know, the lights was on and everything. And as I kind of like woke up and looked up, I turned my head over and it was as if he was like moving forward. And then like he caught my gaze, like I caught him or something. Mm-hmm. And he stopped and kind of like turned around. And, the way my apartment was set up was like my living room. And then it went back down in a hallway, to my bedroom. And he like receded back down that hallway. And I was super creeped out. Cause I had never seen anything like that before, but I knew like there was a presence in the room, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like really, really weirded out and it kind of like messed me up for 2 days. But that night, the sun used to set like in front of my apartment. So the light would like come through my blinds and stuff. Excuse me. And on the light was like shining back into my hallway, and on the door that was sitting there, the light coming through the blinds formed this this symbol right here that I actually drew. You guys can see it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But I showed it. It looked like a Jewish symbol that I recognized. Okay. So I
okay. Yeah, it does kind of look.
So yeah.
Like
so, it looked.
My friend, he's like, "Holy crap, man! That's a chi." Which yeah. is like the symbol for living or the
okay.
the living presence of God or something like that. I don't really fully understand. But
are you Jewish by chance?
No, I'm not Jewish myself.
Okay,
but I was raised in a very like religious spiritual family.
Sure,
very sensitive about like.
So when you saw that, did you immediately know what it was, or did it take some time to process and figure out what that was?
Well, it was just honestly, it was like highlighted. Like the whole hallway was dark, mm-hmm. and the fact that this beam of light was able to travel like the expanse of my apartment, because it was a 2-bedroom apartment. So there was the hallway consisted of. 1 bedroom and then a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit farther back was my door.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just like highlighted in the center of that door, kind of like where he receded to.
Wait, so it was on your door?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Like on the spot where he was like going towards.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to wrap my
brain. That's why I was freaked out. I was like,
yeah.
I have to get the notebook and draw this because
so it looked familiar. You drew that right then and there. You drew that? Oh, wow.
I
had to record the shape so I could show my friend because I wasn't completely familiar
We would really much appreciate you sending us a picture of that drawing so that we can put it up on the social media and Facebook and all that stuff. Okay, so I want to do a quick recap. This is really cool. It's really mind-blowing. But you're sitting on the couch. You nod off. You wake up, you see something out of the corner of your eye, and you turn and you look, and it's a shadowy void, or it's in a person's shape.
Well, okay, so the shape was much like the...
Did it have a discernible shape? I haven't said that in a while.
Oh, yeah. So. No, it was a tall, like, broad figure.
Okay.
And it looked like the shadow on the shadow guy on the neighborhood watch signs.
Yeah.
Did he have a hat?
Like the weird hat and the media. Gotcha.
Oh.
And the pent up trench coat.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
Okay. So then you catch him and he's initially moving towards you, but it recognizes that you're seeing it. Right. And then it turns around and goes down the hallway.
Yeah.
And so did you immediately follow, or did you just kind of like sit there and collect yourself?
I sat on the couch and didn't move. I was
understand.
Don't blame me for that.
When you guys had described, I heard another person describe their experience with a shadow person, and they experienced where they couldn't move at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to turn my head, but I don't know if I was like petrified in fear or like I just was trying to figure out really like if that was happening, if what I saw was either like a waking hallucination or an actual presence.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. So then the sky takes off and you're there and you're processing. And then later on, as the sun's going down. Yeah. Or is this the same day or next or different day? Same day.
Yeah.
You're looking down the hallway at your room to where he was going, and then you have this illuminated glyph. I mean, you know, this letter or symbol of the in Hebrew, yeah, that says life or something. So it seems like that would be. It almost seems to me, and I'm extrapolating a lot here, that's some kind of like. I don't know, almost like a protective kind of thing or something weird that like. A barrier, maybe that would be. I don't know. I have no.
That's clue. Exactly how I interpret it. I mean, that's if I was messed up for a couple of days. I was, you know, I mean, as all this kind of happened around the couple hours, I'm like, am I going crazy? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I didn't really tell anybody about it.
Yeah. Understandable.
But, besides my friend, you know, but the experience like stuck with me. You know.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
And like I said, I come from a very spiritual family. I know even doctors say that when you don't have hope, your prayer actually kind of works. Right. You know what I mean? There's,
right.
There's a certain power in that. And I know.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a lot of protective.
Sure.
In my life from those people. So.
Did you look into that any further as far as symbol, trying to put together maybe what all that was about, or are you still trying to figure that out?
No, honestly, I never really did a lot of I did a little bit of research into like Jewish symbols and numbers and stuff like that. Kind of like all that, what that means. And I thought it was really interesting.
That is fascinating that symbol itself would be there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
that's intense.
I mean,
yeah,
I didn't really think of anything when I saw it. I just knew that I recognized it. But when my friend told me what it meant, I was like, wow, that's really cool.
Can you show me that one more time? That symbol.
And how old was the, was this an apartment or was it like a house that had been converted?
Wow.
So it was one of those,
That's okay.
It was one of those, ranch style houses that had been converted into multiple family units.
Okay.
Okay. So it's an older house. Then it's been there for a while. Do you know any of the history of the house?
I don't. I know that the landlord that I rented it from, it was his first apartment, and he was like 40.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, has anyone or yourself experienced anything like that since then?
Not necessarily with the light thing, or with shadow people. Now, my uncle did see or claim to see once a demon at the end of his bed. Apparently, my sister was hanging out with like a lot of rough people, and she came home crazy one night and was acting hysterically like she was on drugs or something. And then. My grandparents being the God-fearing people that they were, thought that she was possessed and prayed a demon out of her. But my uncle claims to have seen it that night. He woke up that, and it was trying to attach itself to him.
Wow.
Like it was roaming around the house.
Whoa. Interesting, man. So you guys are already sort of perceptive toward those kinds of things. You know?
Yeah, there's a long history of just like weird things like that's happened in my family.
That's funny because like speaking for myself, you know, in my family, my folks are very conservative people, you know, God fearing, church going folks, but yet we still, my mother she has an intuitive sort of part to her and talks about how like, you know, her mom and could feel things. And so like that weird stuff isn't out of the realm of possibility for people that are, spiritual. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the things that we would think, or that some people would think well, you believe a certain way, so there's no way that you could think that there's anything outside of that. Like, I think I sometimes find the opposite to be true, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have a core foundation of a belief, but that's based in a spirituality that isn't necessarily closed to that one idea. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's the difference between like being religious or being spiritual.
Right.
Like, it's not necessarily the architecture.
Yes.
That you put your soul through. It's the soul itself and like whatever you believe in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it as well. But that expands us no matter it through all beliefs.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's fascinating.
A lot of it's really just like about taking care, you know, and respecting each other.
Sure.
Kind of stuff.
Right.
But I'm going to, I looked up this symbol.
Okay.
Yes. Which is, very, very, very simple.
Yeah, like, very, very.
Almost on point.
Wow, man. That is crazy, man.
And what is the, did it say what the name of it is again?
So it's Chai. That's how it's pronounced, I believe. And it's spelled like chai.
Okay.
I'm in images right now. So it means life, alive, or living.
Okay.
And it's spelled with the Hebrew letters Chet and Yud, or Ket. I don't know how to pronounce that, honestly. Jews often wear a chai on a necklace in form of medallion or amulet, sometimes along with a hamsa, or prominent symbol of Jewish faith, the Star of David.
Interesting. And, you know, there's also a Celtic rune that is similar in shape that means strength. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No.
But it doesn't have the extra sort of curly thing.
The kick?
Yeah, but it is very similar. I'm trying to look it up real quick here.
Well, it's funny to me is it looks similar, but not exactly. And once we have that, we can post both your drawing and the GIF or the picture of what you have on there. But to me, it looks very, very similar to pi, symbol for pi.
Yeah.
Except
I thought that as well. It does.
It's got the pi has the bridge over going over completely hanging off on both sides on the top with the little kick and the on the one leg. Mm-hmm. But the one that you the symbol you showed us does look more like the chai, as you said.
Yeah. Well, I can't pull it up on my phone. I have it on my body because I have it tattooed on me.
There you go.
But it is kind of similar. Although the difference being that it's more slanted. One of the legs is longer, so it's like goes up and then sort of the top of it slants down and the other leg is shorter. So,
Barry, you're going to have to provide us a photograph for social media of your tattoo.
Okay, I will. I will. But no, that is wow. I mean, that regardless, it's a cool thing. That's an interesting thing.
And it does seem to be like that with the meaning of the symbol. It does seem like it would be something that you would put where, like, as a protective ward or something like that, as a, I don't want to say charm per se, but something that would be a symbol of protection or something where of positivity, where, you know, all the Shadow Man stories, all the Shadow People stuff, is there's always that fear of dread and that always that sensation of fear and dread, I should say, that are associated with them. So maybe that's the universe was just putting that out there for you to, or, you know, to block that or as a comfort against what you had just witnessed.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know either, but it was definitely a confirmation to me that there's like some kind of fifth, sixth dimensional being out there. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever that may be.
Right. For sure. Cool story, man. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Thank you for sharing that, man.
Thanks, man. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Really cool, bro.
Yeah, dude. We appreciate it, man. Hey Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker, chupacabra.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge, you know. They're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
I've got to say that Chris's first story about Curly helping the woman and her finding the money, it's like pretty incredible.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, that's just crazy. What do you say?
That's cool. And it's awesome. You know, I mean, that's one of those. It's really cool to have a family legend like that, a family story like that, and to be so, you know, have it passed down. And because, like, I don't think my family's got any cool legends like that I know of. There's some weird stories. There's some cool stories, but nothing like that. You know, and so again, to our listeners out there, if you got a short story like that, you know, still we want to hear that. And it's cool, and we'd love to hear that, because that's really cool. Yeah. You know, we don't have the direct person, but we have the grandson, and that's just pretty awesome.
And we've had Chris, we've had Sean, and we've had a few people on that, you know, have become fans of the show, and they reach out to us, and they want to be on, and it's cool that we were able to get him on. And, you know, I think that the symbol story about the shadow figure thing and the symbol is just like strange, man. So weird.
That's a head scratcher for sure. That's a mystery.
You know, those two things happened at the same time. It's like, it's just bizarre, dude.
Yeah.
I would probably be investigating that idea of what that was all about, you know, and it's just crazy, man.
Yeah, both of his old stories, you know, the rising corpse, man.
Because that's
a little bit unusual take on what stories I've heard before, because I had a friend who was a mortician, and man, morticians that are out there, anybody out there that is a mortician or married one or dating one or is one in the family, man, knock on their door and tell them to come and get a hold of us and tell us their stories, because you know, I mean, that's kind of it's a weird job. Not a lot of people want to do that or do that. And I know that most of them have weird stories because, man, this guy that was my friend there in Oklahoma City, man, he had some great weird stories and they were really cool. You know, so again, that's somebody we want to hear stories from. We want to hear all your stories. And if you got a shadow person story, we definitely want to hear it. So,
yeah, we've had a few of those and they're always really just kind of hard to understand, like how you would, you know, deal with something like that.
They're unsettling,
you know, because especially I think that, what do you want to call it, that myth or that idea always seems to come with like heaviness. Shadow people carry a sense of darkness with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of the way that those stories seem to evolve. So,
and it's interesting that, you know, he saw the hat guy, you know,
right.
And like, as Midas said that, you know, his mom in our very first episode, as Midas described his mom seeing, you know, Abe Lincoln stop, you know, Abe Lincoln's,
right.
You know, shadow. So, you know, that was
so weird.
That's really cool. You know, and that's and Dara was talking about, she knew the different types, you know, I mean, there are different types of them and they're, you know, I mean, I guess they're kind of a universal thing. So,
yeah,
you know, there's something to it, dude. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, yeah. So thanks again to Chris, you know, for coming on and for Vinny coming on and, you know, we keep expanding our list of people that are willing to share their stories and, It's a really cool thing. When we interview someone, we don't just throw it out there, you know, unless it's ready to get thrown out there. But if it's something like this where we've got some shorter stories and, you know, we're not just going to throw those out and just, you know, hope that people consume them. We want to find the balance and we want to, you know, give that show, that story, the best opportunity to be heard by people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, coupling that with another story, it just kind of helps, you know, support, you know.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, we want to give everybody the opportunity to come on. And if you have one short story, or even if you have several stories that are long stories, you know, yeah, it doesn't matter. We don't care. We'll want to give you the opportunity to come on, we'll find the right place to plate it, you know.
Yeah.
We'll put it on a plate. We're going to arrange it, you know. And sometimes you want your mashed potatoes next to the corn so you can mix them up and it's tasty. You know, you want everything. You just want one big old heap and pile of spaghetti. So exactly. It's dinner time. That's why I'm making all these food analogies.
But it's great, and both those guys are awesome, and we appreciate them taking their time to come talk to us and open up about that stuff. And you know, it's appreciated by a lot of people. It's appreciated by a lot of people that are into this and what we're doing.
Yeah, and especially I want to say especially the shadow people thing stories, because those are stories that really seem very intimate, and those are stories that doesn't seem like people really like talking about them because they are so unnerving and unnatural to the person who has experienced it, but you know, and very upsetting. And so we really appreciate that. We appreciate all you guys in Weirdsville. We are, you know, we're trying to make this community of ours bigger and bigger. We're adding on to the suburbs. We've got some city planning going on, and you know, I really like analogy and metaphor, so that's why I'm running around with this type of stuff.
Can we please zone the freaking city to where it makes sense?
Yeah, well, you know, it wouldn't be Weirdsville if we did. So
we'll have the serial killer. He'll be next door neighbors to the guy that's got the shadow people.
Yeah, for real. Keep them in line, both of them.
Hey, thanks again, guys, and please keep in tune. We'll be here next week to talk to you guys.
Thanks for listening. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.